Savior.
Savior.
Oh, Savior.
Savior.
I need you to hear my humble, cry. Why don't others? They keep God.
Thankful this morning to stand at a time when the Spirit is just so. Because actually it is a big help to ministry, but it also helps with the message that God has given me for today. What it was, what it is, and what it shall be. As we prepare our hearts and minds for the Word of God this morning, let us all be mindful of what a blessing it is just for us to be assembled in this place on this another Lord's Day. We come to give Him thanks and praise for all that He is to us. There's not a person here that cannot testify to the fact that the Lord has been good. Even in our moments and times of despair and heartache, we can still say that the Lord is good. David said on one occasion that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. And that's somebody's story in here this morning. That if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side. We know we finished that out saying, I don't know where I would be. I don't know what I would be doing. But isn't it a good thing to know that even when you wasn't where you needed to be with God, He was still on your side? See, we got to understand that God is always on our side. And we talk about holding on to God's unchanging hands. And the reason the songwriter says hold on is because God won't let go. We are the ones that let go. We get our minds and our eyes focused on something else and we'll let go of the power of a mighty God. But God is able this morning to do what nobody else can do. We got to understand that we can't have doubt in our mind that God is a good God and that God can do the impossible. There shouldn't be any doubt in your mind that there was a spiritual intervention that was made by God, that there was something that has happened in most of our lives that we realized that it had to be God, that there's no way that I could work it out. I didn't exactly know what to do, but God intervened and He worked it out. Now, when God intervenes and God begins to manifest things into our lives, a lot of times there are others involved and we may not even be aware that God has put an individual right there in your life to be a blessing unto you. And that is an intervention because God realizes that you need another voice. You need to hear something from somebody that you are going to listen to. Not that you don't listen to the preacher, not that you don't listen to mama and daddy, but how many of you know that there's always somebody that can have more influence on you than those that you deal with on an everyday basis? Mainly because it's like they don't have any vested interest, so they're just being real with you. I love real friends. I love those that if you don't like me, it's all right not to like me. I'd rather for you not to speak to me and not like me than look all up in my face and act like you like me and know that you don't like me. Now, I'm not saying to treat people in a nasty way because if you want love, you got to give love. And then as I tell you on many occasions, it's not what they do to you, it's what you do to them. That's what you got to give an account of. Don't sit around and let the enemy get you all messed all up because of what you think they think about you. As long as you know who you are and whom you belong to, don't worry about that. You can let folk talk and give their opinion all day long, but as long as you know that you are a child of the King, as long as you know that I'm a wretch undone, as long as I know that I'm not perfect, I don't have all the answers, but I also know that I'm a child of a mighty King. Anybody in here know that you belong to a mighty God? Hallelujah, Jesus. And that God I'm talking about, just when we need him the most, he will step right in. Whether you call it a blessing, whether you call it mercy, or whether you call it favor, all you need to know is that God will step in. And I heard somebody say that he'll step in on time. The enemy began to make you think that where is he? I've been talking to you. I've been calling on you, and I need you to come and see about me, but I just don't know where you are. But just when you're almost ready to give up in despair, God steps in. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm so glad God is able to do what nobody else can do. He is a mighty God, and he will take your troubled situation and turn it around for your good. He is an unchanging God, a God that we can always depend on. The Bible declares Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the God that I serve, he does not change. Not like some of your friends or some of your associates. You know how it is every now and again. You got a bad day, so everybody's day going to be bad because of you. But I beg to differ. Don't bring your troubled spirit on top of me. Don't bring your negative mindset in my house. If you don't want to praise him, then that's all right with me. But you get back out of my way. Because I got things that I got to do for the Lord my God. And I don't want nobody else to tell me what I can or cannot do. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says that there's liberty. So we are free this morning. We are free. We're free because we belong to God. I belong to a God that knows what it was, knows what it is, and knows what it's going to be. The truth be told, all of us, we need to know it is that God is there by our side. We can hope and we can plan, but we got to consider God's will and the fact that we don't belong to ourselves. James asked the question on one occasion, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little while. And then it vanisheth away. So we got to learn how to say, if the Lord will, I'll do this or I'll do that. We got to remember that the God that we serve, if it had not been for him, it's because of him we live and move and have our being. We come to worship him and lift him up. And there's a song that says, I don't know what you come to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody remember that song? I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Anybody else come in here to praise the Lord? Anybody come not to just say that I came to church, but anybody come to get your blessing? There's somebody in here that's already blessed and you already done received something this morning. Somebody still waiting on theirs to come, but I want to let you know that it's here this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, sir. I know I got back last week. But I must have been tired. I'm not tired today. I feel like talking. I feel like preaching. I feel like shouting. I hope I get that in today. Because I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise my God this morning. I found out that I don't know what day is going to be my last day. Why do I praise him? Because of who he is and what he is to me. Do I have a witness in the house this morning that know that God will do everything that you need him to do? Now, you know I get all excited. Now, as I set this stage or lay the foundation of this message, indulge me for a moment as I journey back in time in ministry here at the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church, a church where I grew up as a child. But our history of the glory of the first house, it goes far beyond my existence. But I thank God to have been a part of a church where there's always been dedicated, hardworking, God-fearing, and faithful people. And it's because of their prayers and their sacrifices that we still exist today as a reckoning force of a church worship that don't mind having a free spirit and lifting up the name of Jesus. We've even been referred to as Holy Ghost headquarters, because in this house, we don't have a problem with praising the Lord our God. All we ask is that things be done decently and in order. As we celebrate Jesus from week to week in this beautiful edifice, we got to be thankful and give honor and thanks to the founders that believed the word of God. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You see, it was in the year of 1932. That Mr. Jim Hargrave, along with some other dedicated people that were meeting at Yarborough School, located at that time in the little Florida community, that they set out in search because they had a vision that we need a church building. And we find that they purchased and started having service at what was called the Colored Holiness Church. And after this search, after they found the building, then they went on out and they found a man by the name of Reverend J.L. Fowles that was a native of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And he became the pastor of what changed from the Colored Holiness Church to the Fowles Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. So I can't help but wonder, and I do know that there are still a few of those that was here, that remember the glory, the first glory of this house. So what I'm trying to do is bring some of us up that don't know nothing about that. You see, you come in and you join this great church, but you need to know some history about what you are a part of. See, there's a whole lot that I still don't know, but I thank God for Brother Alvin and Sister Christine that can tell you something. Those that have been around for a long time, my Pearl, those that were there when everything began, and they can go back and they don't only know me, they know Dr. Best, they know Reverend White, some of them still know Reverend Fowles, but a whole lot of them are dead and gone. After Reverend Fowles, there was a Reverend H.A. White. And under his leadership, a fellowship hall was built, and the church went from every other Sunday to every Sunday morning. So, you see, we done come a mighty long way. But then we find that in 1951, a true visionary came to the area to preach revivals by the name of Dr. F.T. Betts. And he ended up pastoring the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church and led us into another phase of growth. And we then transformed from the little church on the corner to the greater Fowles Chapel, where everybody is somebody. You see, I fell in the legacy of a man that believed in people. I fell in the legacy of a man when what it was, this was a community church. This was a church where everybody or anybody could come and be treated like somebody. Now, there might be some folk that might say, why is everything goes on at Fowles Chapel? Because of the legacy of what we stand on. There's been a foundation laid that we don't have our highs and our lows. We don't have respect of persons. That we don't think that we are better than nobody else. We're just trying to make it in the game. So every now and again, you got to understand that the doors of the church got to be open so that the people of God can have somewhere to go. Why are you going to save God's house when the Bible says this house shall be called the house of prayer? So we got to remember, and we got to know what it was. So the prophet Haggai proposed to the people of God in his day the question, who is left among you that saw this house in his first glory? If I was to ask for a show of hands, know whether we get anybody. Maybe one or two. So do you see where God has brought us from? 1932. A struggling people with not very much. But I thank God for remembering what my pastor always said. He always told us that we didn't need to fry fish to keep the doors open. It's all right to fry fish for something else. But don't do that to keep the doors open. You got to pay your tithes and your offerings. And somehow, some way, as poor as the people have been and they come through these doors have remained open. Because somebody had dedication, somebody had the love of Jesus, and somebody realized that this is my church. And because it's my church, I'm going to do what I can while I can. I'm thankful that there are those that are yet still left amongst us. And I'm proud to have been part of the early beginnings of this great church, where our pastor taught us many great things. But now, we got to understand that when we talk about the church house, it's not a place to play games. The church is not a place to come and act like you're all of that. The church is a place where you ought to come to get some release. You ought to come to get replenished. You ought to come and get renewed. You ought to come and every now and again, you got to come and just let go of some of your frustrations. And not in a moral way, but in a spiritual way. Anybody know how to bring your burdens to the altar and leave them there? Anybody in here ever just came in and said, I just want to talk to God this morning. I don't want nobody bothering me this morning. Because I come to get something from the Lord. So we got to know how to act when we go to the house of God. Paul tells Timothy in 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So we ought to know how to act in the house of God. What Paul was saying is, if I'm delayed and I cannot get to you, I'm going to write you this letter so that you'll be informed as to how you need to act when you get into the house of God. We ought to know how we ought to act when we get into God's house. Some of us act like you're doing God a favor just because you came in here. But I want to let you know that if it had not been for the love of God, you wouldn't even been able to come in here. Now, you got to know that the Lord our God is going to come. And the Bible says he's soon to come. So now we don't know the day nor the hour. So what if Jesus came to check us out right now? What would he find us doing? Well, now the Bible said that when he came on one occasion, that he got in there and he began to realize that these folk done went crazy. They're not doing what they're supposed to do in the house of God. In fact, before he got in the house, they were acting up on the outside of the house. But Jesus went into the temple of God. The Bible said he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. Overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. You see, what he realized was that those folk needed the animals to make their sacrifice. But how many of you know when you really need something? The folk that got it, they'll jack it to you. They'll put the price up and they'll make everything just outrageous. Because they know you got to have it. Isn't it a sad thing the way society will do? Just when you need it the most, that's when it goes up the highest. Then when you don't need much of it, it come back down to where you can afford it. But you got to learn how to just go with the flow. You got to be in a position where if you are there when God comes, that you're doing what the Lord would have you to do. You can't allow anybody or anything else to get in your way. You got to know that God is going to be right there. And I just want to let you know this morning that you better know what it was. And you need to know what it is right now. And then you ought to know what it shall be. But I just stopped by to let you know that I stand just like a servant, just like the prophet Haggai. Haggai stood before the people of God. He said, I want to know who is there left among you that saw the first glory, and how do you see it now? How is it in comparison to what you see now? You see, they realized that when I think about the temple of God, I remember that King Solomon had this great temple, all laced in gold and all the finery and all of the jewels. But I want to let you know that this house that they're building right now is not going to be as luxurious as that other house. But what are you letting them know? That don't worry about all of that that they had in that house. I want to know, is there anybody still left here that saw the house that Solomon built? Well, I want to let you know that Solomon's house done been destroyed. It done fell down, and the problem is now that we got to rebuild the house. See, that's why on last week, Haggai, I told you that if you be disobedient to God, there's going to be something that's going to happen in your life. So in obedience to the power of a mighty God, this man of God stood before the people of God. He went and he told them, I got a news that I got to tell you, that the Lord God told me to tell you, and he said, I'm the Lord of hosts. I got to tell Joshua, and I got to tell Zerubbabel. I got to let them know and get all of the people together. Grab all of the nations and get them together. According to the word that I covenanted with you, I want to let you know that the same thing I told the children of Israel when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I told them that I'd be with them every step of the way. So I want to let you know that this house that you're getting ready to build, it might not look like the other house. It might not have all the gold that the other house got. But I want to let you know that my glory will be in that house. I want to let you know this morning that the silver is mine. The gold is mine. Everything that you got is mine. And I want to let you know that the glory of the latter house will be better than that of this house. So I say to Faust Chapel this morning, we are not the Colored Holiness Church anymore. We are the Faust Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. We went from the little church to the big edifice. But now we got to know that this is not the end. If anybody think this is the peak of where we're going, you got another thing coming. Get ready, because God got some great things in store for us. But we got to do what the prophet said do. The prophet said we got to go to work. See, if there's nobody in here willing to work, don't worry about the conditions of the house. But if you're worried about how the house is going to make it, get up off of your stool or do nothing and get ready to go to work for the Lord. I stopped by to tell somebody that I love the power of a mighty God. Anybody love the Lord this morning? I stopped by to let you know, Faust Chapel, that we got to go to a higher height. We got to go another round. We got to do our thing while we can. We got to take advantage of every opportunity and know that there are resources out there. Don't stop talking about everybody is broke. You might be broke now, but God has everything that you need. How many of you believe that God will? God will. God can. God has already done some great things in our life. Faust Chapel, we can say, look where he brought us from. Look where he brought us from. But don't worry about where you come from. Where are you trying to go? We got to stay in the race. Press toward the mark of the high calling of God. I got to tell somebody, I come to praise the Lord. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. I come to do what nobody else can do. I come to let God have his way. Anybody want God this morning? Anybody want the power of God? Anybody want to get off of their stool or do nothing? All you got to do is trust the power of God. What it was, what it is, and what it shall be. I'm so thankful for what we got, but I'm looking forward to what we're getting ready to get. See, there's some blessings in store for us, and we got to stop holding back. We got to stop quenching the spirit, and we got to stop holding our little pockets. We got to let go and let God have his way in this house. This house shall remain on a foundation of love, power, and the mighty word of God. Never forget where we come from. I thank God for those that can share with me what it was. And I do thank God that I'm a part of what it is. And I don't know whether I'll be here to be a part of what it shall be. But if I don't, there's somebody in here that's going to be here in the shall be. See, some of us are going to miss that next blessing and that next round that God's going to carry this church to. But don't begin to think just because everything looks so good that we can just get satisfied and comfortable and sit down like we done already achieved. We still got a long way to go. Oh, yeah, those pews sit better than them old hardwood pews we used to have. They up there. You pull them red cushions up out of them. Hallelujah. Them hard pews will keep you jumping. You don't sit down for no hour, 2 hours on that pew without getting up, clapping your hands, and doing something. You just need a butt release.